Acts, the fourth chapter, verse number 32, stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Verse 32, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the prices of the things that were sold and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. Let's pray. Father, I sure want to thank you today for the good testimonies we've heard. Thank you for what you've done for us. We've seen a soul come to you this morning, one that'll never, ever, ever have to worry, Father, about perishing. I'm so thankful for that. Lord, if nothing else was done today, that was worth more in all the world. And I want to thank you for it. Thank you for letting us be a part of it. Thank you for the ministries here that helped to get that job done. And Father, once again tonight, this preacher needs your help, needs your power. And I ask you to help me as I preach, that your perfect will would be done. And Lord, for tomorrow on getting the cross up, we need some help. We need your protection. We ask you, God, to help us and get that job done for your glory. Now thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Can I start off by saying I won't keep you long? We've heard some good message tonight. I know it's not preaching like preaching, but it's good messages. And it's good for our people, and good to hear the testimonies of our people praising the Lord and thanking God for his goodness and kindness. I just love that. I think it's one of testimonies of God leading in their life. Well, that's wonderful. Amen. Brother Johnny said it right. The hope of this nation is these old strong churches that'll preach the gospel, the word of God. And God is the hope of our nation. He's the only hope of it. Amen. So tonight, I don't intend to keep you long. We've heard some good preaching, good messages. But I want to give you a message tonight. I entitled it, What is the Difference? And I want to extend that title, and I'm going to extend it by saying, what is the difference between a spirit-filled man and a man who's not spirit-filled? And I want to just take a few moments tonight and try to help us understand, help us see. There's a contrast in the Bible of people who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and they get the work of God done. And those that are not filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and they don't get the work done. It just doesn't get accomplished. So one of the keys of the success of the early Christian life, early Christian church, excuse me, one of the keys to that was that they was united in purpose. Their whole purpose was to win the world to Christ. That was their goal. That was the purpose they existed for. Now the church has come around to where there's all kinds of different things that the church does today, and doesn't always exist for that purpose. I don't know where you read the article. My wife read to me. She reads things to me. And I appreciate it very much. I haven't learned to read yet, so she reads and reads things to me, and it helps me. But she reads about the National Council of World Council of Churches. Did you read that article in the paper? And they're having all kinds of problems. The National World Council of Churches is, and the president of it was some lady, and she's resigning, and all of this, and they have all kinds of things that's a problem with it. Is their financial things is a disaster, all kinds of financial messes, and everything else is a mess. And some of the evangelicals suggested the best thing to do with the World Council of Churches was be just to disband it. That was their suggestion. I think it's a good suggestion. It probably won't happen, but anyway, they was talking about, and a statement was made in the article. You read it if you get a chance. It's worth reading. A statement was made in the article that the World Council of Churches don't pay much attention to theology or spiritual matters. It's mainly political. And let me say to you, it is. I mean, it is. That's exactly what it is. It's part of that world coming church, you know, that's going to be after we're gone. Amen. We'll be gone, and it'll be part of that that's left, and they'll try to gather all those things together, you know, and continue in their wicked ways. But one of the keys, the main key to the success of the early church was they had they were united in the purpose of winning the world to Christ. That's what it was all about. And I believe that's what the church is supposed to be today. We notice in this portion of Scripture that spilled over, though. That unity spilled over into other areas of their life. And certainly it was a unity of what they're going to do, the purpose they existed, what they was trying to do, get people saved, and all of those things. But it spilled over into other areas of their life. I would like to say to you that if Blessed Hope Baptist Church has any ministry whatsoever that is not for the purpose of getting people saved, we ought to disband it. We ought to get rid of it. Now, what I'm saying is, it always sometimes has a purpose of training people how to grow in the Lord so they can get people saved. But the ultimate goal is getting people won to Christ. Every ministry of this church, I as pastor, sees to that. That is the goal when I set up a ministry. That is the goal of it. If it can't serve that purpose, it's not serving the purpose God put us here for. Whether that's a bus ministry, whether that's the Joseph Storehouse ministry, whether that's Sunday school ministry, whether that's the children's church ministry, a youth ministry, our school, training them for God. And I think God's used our school in a tremendous way, trained them for God to see people saved and get out into the ministry, out in the work of God, so that people will get saved. That's the purpose for our nursery. That's the reason it exists. You say, Brother Ross, the nursery? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely, nursery. Teaching little young ones down there so the mom and daddy can come up here and sit in the services and learn how to go out and be soul winners. How to be soul winners and do things for God. See, every ministry that Blessed Hope Baptist Church has must have as its purpose the winning of souls, the furtherance of God's work, its ultimate goal. That's absolutely necessary. If it is not, we ought to disband it and get rid of it. And I would, if I knew of any ministry, I'd get rid of it if it wasn't serving that purpose, you see. All through the New Testament, there's a call for a unity of purpose. Now, we get all confused a lot of times. Churches today get all confused what the real purpose of the church is all about, you see. And we can't do that here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We got to remember our purpose. What's our goal? What's our purpose? And we've got to keep that before us, always before us. Well, the only way that that's going to be done, because you notice here in this portion of Scripture, you'll notice that I just read you a portion of Scripture that pictured unity of purpose. On down in chapter 5, and we may get to that, we may not, but chapter 5, you look in it and you'll see disunity. You'll see the two, Ananias and Sapphira. Disunity. So you see a picture of both of those, but unity is what God wants for the purpose of doing the work of God. Now, I think you can understand that. Now, I'm just going to give you a few things here concerning verse number 32. He talks about all things were common. He says, and the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and one soul. Neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, but they had all things common. See, it didn't make any difference. Now, this was a special time. We'll talk about that in a few minutes. But this was a special time in the life of the church. This was during the beginning of the church life. And there was some horrible things going on. I won't talk about those right now. We'll go back in just a few minutes and talk about it. But there was some horrible things going on. People were suffering terribly for the faith, for the Lord Jesus Christ. They were suffering terribly. And so, regardless of who they was, it didn't make a difference where they come from, what nationality they was, whether they was Jew or Gentile, no matter what it was, they said, you know what we got to do? We got to take care of God's people. And we've got to see to it that God's people get fed, get the things they need, the clothes they need, and all those kind of things. What for? So we can get the gospel out. So we can get the word of God preached, get the word of God spread. That was their whole purpose. You see, verse 32 shows that after they were saved, they understood a principle. They were stewards of that which God gave them. Now you say, Brother Ross, are you suggesting that we all just pitch in and give everything we've got and live out of a commune? No, Pastor Ross is not suggesting that. But what I'm saying, at that time, what they did was right and proper. Because they was doing it for the right purpose. They was doing it because there was people starving, couldn't get food, couldn't get the needs of their life, and they was doing it for the right purpose. But I do believe the principle that is taught here ought to be something that's in our life also. I believe the principle taught here is that anything we have is not our own. Now, I believe that from the bottom of my heart. I believe that. I believe that anything God has given me is His. And it belongs to Him. And if He wants it, He can have it anytime He wants it. I believe that. I believe that from the bottom of my heart. I can't remember who the fellow was, but I heard him one time talk about that he had a car he dedicated to the Lord. And he was something happened to it. He pulled over to the side of the road. He looked up in the mirror and here something came at him. And he said this guy couldn't get stopped, slammed right into the back of him. He said, I sat there and wondered, Lord, why in the world would you do that? But if you want to wreck your car, it's okay with me. Now, what I'm saying is simply this. It's just kind of the attitude that we ought to have is, you know what? It does belong to the Lord. Whatever we have does belong to Him. That is a principle that ought to be in our Christian life. Amen? I mean, you know as well as I do, you don't have anything God didn't give you. Now, you know that. You know that. Every person in this room knows that. Anything you have, anything I have, God saw to it. I mean, God's the one that gave it to us. Amen? Now, you know that. Amen? So, really, it really belongs to Him. He's just letting us use it. He's lending it to us and letting us use it, okay? So, it ought to be made available to the Lord whenever He decides He wants something. It all belonged to Him. Amen. We ought to have that same kind of a spirit. Now, in verse 33 gives the result of that kind of an attitude. Look at verse 33. And that with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. You notice here the result of the attitude they had in verse 32. And I'll mention this because we're going to deal with that in just a moment or two. But on up in verse 31 is, of course, we interrupted, came in on verse 32. But in verse 31, it talks about them all being filled with the Holy Ghost. You know why they could have the attitude that all things were common and they was willing to give it up? You know why? They was filled with the Holy Ghost. And you know what? You know why? You know what that meant? That meant the sweet Holy Spirit of God was guiding them. And they were yielding to whatever God told them to do at that time. It's exactly what was happening. Whatever God told them to do, they was doing it. They was filled with the Holy Spirit. Next verse talks about they had all things common. And then the next verse tells us about how great a work was happening, what great things was going on, what great power was evident. I believe when we see folk filled with the Holy Spirit of God, being led by the Holy Spirit of God, and letting God do what needs to be done in every life, I believe you're going to see things happen that are good and proper things, and you'll see the power of God working. Now, I just believe that. Because I believe God honors His Word, and I believe that God honors those who will just give their life over, and He will use them to the glory of God. I just believe that, you see. So we find there that the attitude was the right kind of attitude produced here, great power gave apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the great grace was upon them. And then notice also in verse 34, he says, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold. What happened next was, because they were filled with the Holy Spirit of God, they was willing to be led by the Holy Spirit of God, they had a concern for others. Now, Christianity was paying a horrible price. You and I do not know anything about that, not in practice. We have no understanding of what the price these men and women were paying for their faith in Jesus Christ. If you go back in the first chapters here and begin, you'll see at least four great persecutions, and they go on past over in chapter 7, and chapter 8 is the last one. There are four great persecutions that was going on in the early church. Four horrible persecutions. I mean, they was giving their lives. Stephen stood and was stoned to death. Amen. And other ones, Paul came in and was involved in this one persecution, horrible persecution, and caused havoc in the church. And the Bible says they were scattered, Christians were scattered, and they went everywhere preaching the word. Now what I'm saying to you is, persecutions that was going on then, you and I have not experienced. So what I'm saying is, what they done is they looked around and saw their Christian brethren that was suffering these persecutions. I'm not talking about the lazy people out there that just don't want to work and don't want to do anything. I'm talking about Christian brethren that was suffering because of their faith, and they said, we've got to do something about this. Let's all get together. Let's give whatever we've got. Let's give. Let's get together, and let's make sure that they have food to eat and clothes to wear and all these kind of things. Now that's what they did. And they did it because there was a great persecution, you see. Now, these believers were not made to do this. They did it willingly. There wasn't a group of apostles that got together and say, we command you to give everything. That was not done. This come from hearts that said, there's the need, we've got to do it. And that's so important, because when a person is filled with the Holy Spirit of God, he'll know what God wants him to do. He'll do it willingly. He won't have to be forced. He'll just do it willingly because God spoke to his heart and told him what to do. Amen. Boy, I tell you, that's the prayer of this preacher. My wife here knows. I talk to her about this, and I say, oh, I just love to see God's people trusting in God and doing what God wants them to do and letting God show them what direction to go. Oh, I think that's precious. I mean, we can give counsel and we can say some things and say some, you know, things that'll be an encouragement to you and help you in your direction and some things like that. But all we really can do is point you to the Lord and say, God's going to help you. And He will. You see, and that's to me, that's one of the most wonderful things, to see your lives being guided and directed by the Holy Spirit of God. God putting you here and God putting you there. God telling you to do this and God telling you to do that. And you're following the Lord and you're just, why, that's wonderful. You see, and you're doing it willingly. You're not being made to do it, but you're doing it willingly, because you're following the direction of the Holy Spirit of God for your life, you see. That's what unity of purpose, unity of heart causes. It causes people to have compassion on other people. That's what they did. They looked and said, these people are doing that. And we're going to have to bring everything together here. We're going to have to put it all together, lay it at the apostles' feet. You distribute it. We'll talk about that in just a minute. You distribute it. Do what needs to be done with it. But the reason they had that compassion is because they was filled with the Spirit of God. They was led by the Holy Spirit of God. They was doing what God said. And in fact, and I'm not going to go back there, but over in Philippians, the second chapter, and we've talked about that in past messages, but having the mind of Christ. You see, it's having the mind of Christ, doing what Christ would do. Brethren, without, what would Christ do in something like that? What would He do? Well, you know what He'd do. He'd gather up all the fish and the bread. He'd break it and He'd feed them. Amen. He'd do something. See, He'd do something that was necessary to be done. So it's like having the mind of Christ, just doing what God wants us to do, and we're guided by the Holy Spirit of God. Someone who's given over to the Holy Spirit of God, I don't worry about. I don't like to see people have troubles and heartaches. I don't like to see that. But all I know is this. If they're yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, it's all right. God's going to help them. God's going to direct them. God's going to take care of it. Amen? And so we see this. And then we see in verse 34 or 35, and he laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. Now, people didn't go out and sell their stuff and then said, well, I'm going to decide, I want to give this to Brother Joe Nall over there. I want to give this to Joe. I don't want anybody else to have it. I'll give it to Joe, or I'll give it to Brother Brewer. No. They didn't do that. They said, we're going to bring it to the apostles. We're going to let them distribute it as needed. Now, what that shows again is they was yielded to the Spirit of God. They didn't want control of that. They wanted to see that thing just go, be done, whatever needed to be done, according to the Word of God, according to the will of God, according to the Holy Spirit's guiding. That's what they wanted. That was in their hearts, you see. Now, no one, according to this, no one in need was excluded of the brethren. No one was needed. No one was excluded, and no one without a need profited. Amen? That's just the way it was. That was the necessity of that day, and that's exactly what happened. Now, we see then the generosity of Barnabas. Down in verse number 36, it says, and Joseph, who by the apostle was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostle's feet. Now, we find it that in that one verse of Scripture, God identified this man. Barnabas was quite a man. I'm going to show you in just a minute why he was quite a man. The Bible says he was a good man. I'm going to show you why he was a good man. Amen. He was a good man, the Bible says. And we're going to show you why he was. But he identified who this was. And it was Barnabas. And he had some land. In verse 37 tells us he owned some land. And we find that Barnabas was self, being willing to put self last and sacrifice for the work of God. He was willing to do that. You know why he was willing to do that? He was filled with the Spirit of God. He was being led by the Holy Spirit of God. And God told him to do that. Now let me show you over in Acts 11. Acts 11, verse 19. It says, now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenix and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word of to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came into the ear of the church which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God. And what that simply means is he saw the grace of God. He see what God had done in the lives of these people, how he'd saved them. And he says he was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man. Now, we can stop right there, but the Scriptures doesn't stop there. He said he was a good man. Listen to what the Scriptures says. And full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. See, the reason Barnabas came and gave everything he got for that land that he had sold, everything, is because he was full of the Holy Ghost of God, and God was telling him, Barnabas, you sell your land, go and lay it at the apostles' feet, and he did it. It's that simple. See, the same sweet Holy Spirit of God is present with us today and absolutely can speak to us in those same ways and press upon our heart the very same way that he did in Barnabas's life. Amen. You see, that's why, honestly, you listen to me, that's why your pastor don't get up and berate you all the time on your giving. I talk about giving. I should talk about it. I'm the pastor. I lead the church. I should talk about that. We have needs. But you don't hear me getting up and getting after you and scolding you, do you? Does anybody testify? Do I do that to you? No, I do not. I talk to you. I tell you what we need. But I don't do that. You know why I know? I know something. If you listen to God, we won't have to worry about the needs. Now, we won't have to worry about it. If you and I will listen to God, we will not have to worry about it. God is able and capable to impress upon every one of our hearts exactly what we need to do. Amen. And the whole secret to it is this: being filled with the Spirit of God. In other words, being yielded to the Spirit of God, that whatever God wants, that's what I'm willing to do. Now that's the secret. Amen? That's the secret. And I'm saying to you folks, if we'll just live that kind of a life and just be yielded to the Lord Jesus Christ, yielded over as the Holy Spirit directs our life, as we go through life from day to day, you'll be surprised at what God can do. And I'm not just talking about giving of money. Here was a situation where it was giving of money. But it's more than that. It's an everyday life. It's what God wants you to do when you go and visit somebody. You're impressed by God that you need to go visit somebody. God, the Holy Spirit, speaks to you, and you go, and you be a witness to them. It doesn't mean that always get saved, but you went for a purpose because God had you to go. It's right. It's proper. Why? Because the Holy Spirit's teaching you, telling you what you do. Amen? So it's in all areas of our life. What I'm saying is, and I'm not going to go back into chapter 5. It probably, you know, we could do that, but I'm not going to do that. But if you go to chapter 5, you find Ananias and Sapphira is an example of two people who were not filled with the Holy Spirit of God. And because of that, they caused all kinds of problem in the church. Now, let me share with you. If you read that story, because they were told that land was yours before you sold it. The proceeds was yours after you sold it. It was up to you to do whatever you wanted to do with it. No one was making them do it, but they wanted to be a big shot. And they wanted to look big in the front of the other brethren. And so they sold it, said, well, here's the price of the land. Here's what we did. And they kept back part of it. They lied to the Holy Spirit of God. And you can't lie to the Holy Spirit of God and be filled with the Spirit of God. So I'm saying to you again, folks, I'm not trying to get everything common. I'm just trying to say, use the principle that God has put in His Word. Live a life of being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, directed on a daily basis, every area of your life, letting God tell you what to do, direct you, and then just do it. Amen? That'll work. Amen? Now, that's what God wants for His people. Now, the whole thing is this. Are we willing to do that? Are we willing to just simply say, Lord, I want Your guidance. I'm willing to yield myself over to You. Whatever You tell me to do, I'll do it. You know, I know for sure that that's what You want me to do. You've impressed my heart. I'll just do it. Amen? And you know what? We don't have to worry about anything around here at Blessed Old Baptist Church if we'll all just do that. God is the provider. God takes care of us. And He's going to watch over us and see to the needs of this church's life. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. He's God. He's the only one can do it. And He will do it. He'll take care of us. You see. But let's be a people that's just be willing to listen to Him. Amen. I want you to ask yourself a question. We'll close on this. Ask yourself a question. If God really impressed my heart, and let me say this first, that we're willing to the Lord to impress our heart, willing to let God do that. And if God really impressed my heart that He wanted me to do something special, would you do it? Could you say, yes, Lord, I would? That's the whole secret. It's the whole secret. Just being willing to do what God wants you to do. Preacher don't have to tell you what to do. Preacher don't have to say, hey, you need to go out and do this or that. No, God will tell you. Are you willing to do it? That's the secret. And you can answer that. This example of Barnabas and these other folk who did what you told them to do. Help me, Father, as a preacher, to have that kind of a spirit. I want to be yielded to you. I want to do what you tell me to do. I want to mind you. And Lord, help me to do that. This old flesh gets in the way at times, Lord, and I don't want that. I want to do what you want me to do. And I pray for that. And Lord, I pray for our people, Blessed Old Baptist Church, that we'll all just be yielded over to the Spirit of God. And when you speak, we'll do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.